Tell them to bring me my money.
All right, guys. Let's go. And coming in number one, we got football, baby.
Who's ready to make some money? Welcome to Saturday Sweat. Kevin, Bryce, Chase. We all dive into week three of the NFL season. We'll talk matchups, must-starts for your cash lineups, and a few player props along the way. All right, let's jump right into it with the games that we're targeting this week in DFS. A lot of good ones, a lot of high-scoring games that we project and that Vegas has. Number one, Dallas at Seattle. 56.5 is the line for that one. Got to have a lot of guys in this one, right, Chase?
Yeah, it's our number one focus game. We look at really that game total of 56.5 we project for this game to pop off. It's got the number four D score, which is a metric that I came up with essentially that combines the projected pace of play, combined offensive snaps, defensive DVOA, and then some game projections. And really the game that we're using to build our cash lineups off of. And it's an interesting slate, too, because there's a lot of big names that are missing. No Lamar, Mahomes, McCaffrey, Saquon, Kamara, Michael Thomas, Devontae Adams, Travis Kelce, George Kittle, all are either injured or not on the slate. They're playing on Monday night with, like, Mahomes, Lamar, or Kelce. So Dallas, Seattle, that's our number one game.
And I think it's going to feel a lot like Seattle, Atlanta. You know, this is going to be, a really similar game back to when those two teams played. So I think that no matter what, this is the game you have to target. Almost any player in DFS is playable in this matchup, and I know I'm gonna have a lot of them this week. A lot of Russell Wilson, a lot of DK. Probably try to squeeze in some Zeke. For sure, those are going to be your easy smashes in that matchup.
And what we've seen is those two quarterbacks, Russ and Dak, are at the top of FanDuel's salary at $8,700 and $8,500. So you're kind of starting with a huge piece, adding somebody like Zeke, adding Amari or DK or Lockett, who are a little bit cheaper than Amari Cooper. But yeah, you gotta absolutely hit that game. 56.5, I think it goes over based on what I've seen and watching Seattle and the game that we saw last week with Dallas and how they were able to come back. So I think Seattle gets to an early lead, maybe. And Dallas makes this big comeback with Seattle's worst pass defense in the NFL right now.
With your guys' lineups, would you rather play Dak over Russell Wilson just because he's $200 cheaper? Just find maybe a little more money that you can use elsewhere in your lineups in this matchup?
I'm kind of hedging. I'm playing both. Like, I have so many lineups going this week. Just a few cents here, a few cents there, a couple bucks here, a couple bucks there. But I'm really split. It's Dak and Russ. There's the combinations of both. If I'm making one milli lineup, though, I think I lean Dak for that comeback and the rushing upside. He's just running the ball in the end zone a lot more than Russ is right now.
So the thing for me is I'm conflicted because I want to play a bunch of Cowboys. But for how the game correlates and how I'm stacking, it actually fits better for me to play Russ because I want to play Zeke, but I also really want to play at his salary CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper. So if I were to play Dak, I would then be playing Dak, Zeke, Cooper, and CeeDee Lamb. Mm. And that's just not how I like to build my lineups. I feel like that could be too much. So I've been playing Russ with Zeke and Cooper and Lamb, leaving...
And DK.
Yes, and DK. And then leaving Dak out. And I also feel like that as long as Russ is cooking, Russ is safer than Dak.
Yeah. Probably not going to have the turnovers that Dak had last week. And Russell's one turnover this season was off the face of Greg Olsen. So should be an awesome game. We'll definitely be talking more about it later on in the show. But the next game up on the slate that we're targeting is Detroit at Arizona. Also an afternoon game. And really, it's the Kyler Murray show. No Christian Kirk this week, so expecting even more DeAndre Hopkins, possibly. Maybe Larry Fitzgerald. I just threw him in for Henry Ruggs, who's out this weekend. But Kenny Galladay's back as well. Stafford and that offense has looked pretty good this season. As bad as the Lions have looked as a team, I think. This is a game that, you know, 55 is the line. We're expecting that to hit on the over as well. So, Chase, you're talking D-score with this one. It was number one.
Yes, kind of the question is, with the number one D score, why isn't this our number one game to target? And really what it comes down to is, I would love to play Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, But the game stacking ability that we've talked about, that's super important for cash. There's really not a lot to stack with. If I were to build a lineup with Arizona, I would go Kyler, DeAndre Hopkins, and then Kenyon Drake at 6,500 is really good value. But I like to game stack, and there's not a whole lot to run it back with that I feel comfortable with in cash. Kenny Golladay is an option, but he himself said yesterday he's not 100%. Do I feel comfortable sticking that in my cash lineup as a run back? No. And then TJ Hawkinson would essentially be the other option at tight end. I think he's 5,400. That's a good play, but if I'm just running it back with TJ Hawkinson, that doesn't really necessarily make sense. And then the unfortunate part about Detroit for a cash lineup is there's no running back that you're comfortable in playing with, because Adrian Peterson, Kerryon Johnson, and DeAndre Swift, who I do like in this game script, but it's not a guy that I'm going to stick into my cash lineup.
I don't necessarily like Kenyon Drake this week, and everybody's been hyping him up as a guy that you have to play in your lineups for cash or tournament, whatever it is. He's got 13.5 points against San Francisco week one, 10.5 points in week two, and I just don't feel like there's enough upside. Now, he is getting a quality amount of touches. He's getting around 20 a game, which is going to be good for almost anybody, especially if you're on the Arizona Cardinals right now with how well their offense is performing. But when I've tried to build lineups this week involving Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, it's been really difficult because Kyler Murray's the third highest quarterback in price and Hopkins is number one. Just really limits you elsewhere. I would say that you can damn near play TJ Hawkinson anywhere, because I think that's really the guy to target in this matchup. He's not that expensive. When I look on here, he's down at about 5,400. So that's below guys like Jonnu Smith, Hayden Hurst, Noah Fant. And then guys after him, you have Dallas Goedert, who's the cheaper option at 5,200. But I like Hawkinson in this, especially if Kenny Golladay is getting involved in the offense. Just takes more attention away from Hawkinson, could open up him in the end zone.
Isn't that a concern, though, with how well Hawkinson has played or been involved through the first 2 weeks? Now Kenny Golladay comes back. I think a lot of people, not only in DFS but in fantasy, are going, okay, where's my Logan Thomas? Where's my guy that has been getting a lot of targets the first couple of weeks with everybody healthy? Hawkinson, in a lot of people's minds, I think is a fade now or a trade candidate because their number one receiver is coming back. They're getting Swift more involved. It just seems like Hawkinson, of all guys, is either going to benefit from that a lot or be on the opposite end.
This is the type of game that feels like Arizona's going to put a lot of points on Detroit, and Detroit's going to be throwing the ball, trying to catch up through the entirety of this game. So I think no matter who's on the field for the Lions, whether it's Hawkinson, Marvin Jones, or Golladay, they're all going to be valuable at some point.
This is kind of going to become a cliched saying throughout this show a little bit, but Kenyon Drake, more of a tournament play than cash. I don't want to keep saying that over and over again because it's almost like hedging, but with this game total that we see in Kenyon Drake getting 20 touches a game, there's a world where he runs in 3 touchdowns from the 2-yard line as Arizona continuously moves the ball down the field. I agree, or I'm not playing him in cash just because, quite frankly, he just doesn't fit into my lineup, but I will be playing him a bunch at 6,500 in tournaments.
Next game on the slate, Cincinnati at Philly, 47.5 is the line. This feels like the game that Philly gets back on track, finally starts to put things together, finally starts to put some points on the board against a Cincinnati team that has struggled defensively, to say the least. I think in every which way, this might be Carson Wentz's bounce back and Miles Sanders finally has a big game to get going. That being said, ultimate tournament play is super sneaky Joe Burrow, and pieces in this offense equally could be said for Joe Mixon, and that he's had a slow start to the season too. So there's a lot of mystery in this game, and I think a lot of people aren't going to have ownership of these guys, but the line itself at 47.5, you like the points that could possibly pop off in this game.
I am so out on Carson Wentz in almost any matchup at this point. I'm not sold on any of the weapons, and a lot of them are hurt. And DeSean Jackson supposedly is supposed to be the wide receiver one of this team, and he hasn't done anything. It is against Cincinnati, so that makes things a lot more appealing from the Eagles' perspective. But I really think the only players that I'm playing for, from the Eagles, is going to be Miles Sanders and Dallas Goedert. And Miles Sanders basically, you know, he should be a top five running back this week. When I look at his value on FanDuel, you know, he's down quite a bit. He's at 7,400. That makes him really affordable and makes it easier to put together solid lineups. And I think with the limited pass options in Philadelphia, Dallas Goedert being as cheap as he is at tight end is a solid play against Cincinnati.
I kind of have on the show sheet written down that this could be a beautiful shit show. So the game total is at 47.5. I see this popping off to 35-31 Philadelphia. Miles Sanders goes crazy. Joe Burrow is kind of chucking from behind, and all of a sudden we see this 60-something game total that is going to be low-owned because of how shitty Carson Wentz looks. And Joe Burrow has that sneaky rushing upside as well. And I think it's definitely more of a tournament play to target this game other than Miles Sanders. But Joe Mixon is going to be super low-owned. AJ Green is going to be super low-owned. They're guys that have seen the volume but just haven't, unfortunately, just haven't put up the fantasy points.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people picking Drew Sample, filling in a tight end now.
With Uzoma out for the year or for the extended future, yeah, 4,800. And I think that I've got him in a couple of lineups here just looking at it. It's like Joe Burrow, Mixon, Boyd, and Sample in that instant where Philly goes up and we see the same thing that happened last Thursday night against Cleveland where Joe Burrow's throwing it 61 times. I don't think we see that again necessarily, but I agree. I think that the Burrow and the offense are going to be on the field a lot in this game.
What I've read is that the Eagles' pass rush is going to get to Burrow quickly with how bad that line is.
Yeah.
And I think the focus for that team is get the ball out quick. So guys like Tyler Boyd, guys like Joe Mixon are going to be pretty valuable in this matchup. So if you're going to play anyone from Cincinnati, I think it would be Joe Mixon and Tyler Boyd, but I think more specifically Joe Mixon. This guy's due to have a big game, and I think this is the matchup that happens where everybody's been running all over this team. So I think Joe Mixon's a good play if you're looking for a safe play as well.
And cheap.
Yeah.
7,000.
So the next lineup is something the next game is something that I've struggled with. The LA Rams at Buffalo. Set at 47.5, and what I've struggled with is Josh Allen. Is Josh Allen legit? They've played the Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets. Now they get the LA Rams, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey. My question is Josh Allen. Where are you guys playing any Josh Allen?
I have one lineup with Josh Allen in a tournament. Only tournament. It's not a cash thing for me.
I just don't think there's any point in playing Josh Allen when you can play Russell or Dak Prescott and still put together a really solid lineup
right.
with three really good running backs. There is risk, right? And I think the Rams have a decent enough defense to make things difficult for Josh Allen. I don't think he's a cash play. If you're going to play him at all, it's probably going to be tournament.
Here's my tournament lineup with Josh Allen. You ready? Josh Allen is at 8,100. So only 600 cheaper than Dak and Russ, which is just kind of crazy. Derrick Henry at 82, Miles Sanders at 74, Stephon Diggs for the stack there. Then Robert Woods, you have to have something else in that game, at 6,600. Adam Thielen at 72. Sample is the big free square saver there at 4,800. And then Allen Robinson at 6,900 with the Tampa Bay defense against Denver. It's a goofy lineup. Do I have any confidence
like it,
in
though.
It at all? Kind of, but that game has to pop off like the Bills have been doing. And what we saw from the Rams last week I think was really encouraging. Besides the touchdowns, all of them going to Higbee, it was kind of the after effect that we saw last year with Robert Woods not getting in the end zone.
There's sneaky value, too, in this matchup. Buffalo's playing a lot faster this year pace-wise than they have historically, and it is actually the third or fourth projected fastest pace game on the slate. So, gosh, it just comes down to Josh Allen for me. Another guy that I have trust issues with, speaking of not trusting quarterbacks, Chicago at Atlanta. Atlanta's given up back-to-back overall QB1 weeks to Russ and Dak. So my question is Mitch Trubisky playable in DFS?
Playable? You mean he's not going to be QB1?
Non-cash. Non-cash. I ain't touching him with a 20-foot pole in cash. That's a strong fade for me. Y'all know how I felt about Mitch Trubisky. I kind of aired that in the last episode. I think that, yeah, this game has some potential for him and Allen Robinson to bounce back. But there's literally no point to do that in cash when we have much safer lineups, much better lineups that involve quarterbacks who have 4-5 touchdown potential.
Yeah, the only way that you make this work is if you play Allen Robinson and Calvin Ridley in your lineup and then hit on everything else too, right? Trubisky, I think, is the liability of this, and you're taking that willingly when there are huge games like Dak and Russ, and there's so many more points on the board available, Kyler and Stafford. Why would you ever pick Trubisky for a cash lineup? So I think the risk, the ownership's going to be down.
It will. I just don't think it's going to be worth the reward.
No, absolutely. Unless
he runs in 2 touchdowns, which, yeah. I don't know.
Your
about
tournament
that.
Quarterback of the week, Mitch Trubisky. Could be. Could be. Rolling through. Any other games you're kind of targeting?
I really like the Houston-Pittsburgh matchup. Yeah. I know that people are scared with how well Pittsburgh's defense is played, but I think their offense is so interesting with Juju and now Deontay Johnson. Deontay Johnson is a extremely, extremely cheap play this week if you're looking for a wide receiver who has some pretty big boom potential. I mean, he's all the way down at 6,300 compared to Juju's 7,000, and that's a lot of room and a lot of money to work with if you're playing Deontay as your third guy. I've squeezed him into some lineups, but in cash, it's straight Dallas and Seattle all over the place with Jonathan Taylor in the flex, and that's kind of where I'm at. But I really like the Houston-Pittsburgh game. I think there's potential for a lot of points in that game. A lot of offense is going to be available there. I think that's going under the radar this week.
One matchup that I hate, really, it's the game total that was set. I'm not avoiding it entirely because of Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry. But Tennessee at Minnesota set at 49.5 points, and I hate that. Oof. I already bet the under. Minnesota's garbage. They scored 11 points versus Indianapolis. Tennessee wants to run the ball. So I'm staying away from that game. It has the lowest projected combined offensive snaps for Sunday. It's going to be slugfest. Minnesota wants to run the ball now. Tennessee wants to hammer it away with Derrick Henry. I don't see how that game can get to 50 points.
I can't wait to see the Titans offensive line just beat Minnesota's D-line into a pulp.
That's going to be bad. Derrick Henry is going to have a big game.
I think Clowney gets to Kirk a couple times, and yeah, it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
Last one we got on here is the total of 47 for Las Vegas and New England. So we saw Vegas, great game in the new stadium last week. Chase's Raiders got it done against the Saints, and New England against Seattle secondary went nuts. Kind of a secondary that struggled and not as good, I would say, as a lot of teams in the league. Do we see Cam air it out more? Is that a game that, you know, I think is kind of slipping under the radar with so much hype around other games? Derek Carr has been really effective and efficient. This Patriots defense is not what it was last year, so there's points to be had there. But Ruggs is out. Jacobs is questionable. Waller's questionable. I think for cash lineups where you're looking for security and safety and knowing that you're going to be all right, this just has too many red flags.
A lot of people playing Cam and Julian Edelman this week, and that isn't the worst idea. I think it's there. I think I'd rather maybe take a gamble on those two in tournaments versus cash, but I still think it's viable in cash. You know, I think you can play that. Once again, it's just not the games. It's not the game I'm seeking out right now, and this week has felt a lot easier in the last couple weeks when it comes to matchups, even though in the last couple weeks we've been hunting down the Seattle matchup, whether it's Atlanta or who'd they play before that? Who'd they play week one?
Atlanta, New England.
New England week two, that's right. So that one was surprising, but I don't know. This week it's a lot easier for me.
It's a game that popped with the D-score. There was something cool when I was running this is that it came up as the number three game, which, Kevin, you said is flying under the radar. Absolutely is. But unfortunately, I can't incorporate until afterwards manually injuries. And now with Henry Ruggs out, Darren Waller questionable. He's going to play, most likely, would be my guess. Josh Jacobs is questionable. It's something that he dealt with all last year, the questionable next to his name he ended up playing. But Ruggs is out. Trent Brown is out. Richie Incognito's out. The Raiders are down two offensive linemen. As a Raiders fan, they're going to get smashed. I hate this spot for the Raiders. There's absolutely no way that they're going to compete with New England. So kind of in general, I'm staying away from this.
What's Bryan Edwards? How much is he on FanDuel?
Gotta be super cheap.
Let me search it really quick. 4,900 for wide receiver one this weekend against Gilmore.
He might not even get Gilmore, because what I was seeing is that Belichick is scheming for Darren Waller. Are we going to see Stephon Gilmore on Darren Waller every single snap? No.
Sometimes, I think
so. But sometimes
will.
I think so.
Yeah.
Renfro. I like Renfro.
Could be Renfro game, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that this New England defense is not at all what it was before.
No.
And they got exposed by Seattle. I mean, maybe Seattle's offense is that good this year. But with all the guys that are out with COVID, you know, concerns.
Yeah,
they're
some of the top players on their defense. It seemed like a lot of them.
Free agency, a lot of guys left, too.
Yeah,
so
a lot of them just opted out.
This is not the fantasy defense that scored the, you know, most points of any player through 10 weeks, you know, that's winning your league this year. It's just not the same.
It's insane.
Absolutely nuts. All right. Let's get into kind of these cash stacks. And obviously, we've talked about the quarterbacks, Russ, Dak, Kyler. There maybe anybody else in there? It's weird because you don't have Mahomes. You don't have Lamar. You don't have Rodgers. Drew Brees hasn't looked like himself. But you don't have those guys to play or lean on and go, okay, yeah, I can throw in Devontae here and I can throw in Kelsey in this lineup. It's just a weird slate this week.
Yeah, I would call those our big three, essentially, that we're building our cash lineups around, and really has kind of boiled down to two of them for me because of the inability to build a lineup and a game stack with Kyler. So Russ and Dak. The question that I have is, who are you running it back with and who are you stacking these guys with? So for Russ, big question, big burning question for me, Tyler Lockett at 6,800 or DK Metcalf, $300 cheaper at 65?
It's DK. And DK's had more receiving yards, more touchdowns. I think that I don't want to say DK is a safer play at this point, but right now I feel like he's just an easy play. I think he's taken a step forward, and we're starting to see that already.
Yeah, it was weird. I was watching a little bit of sweaty film the other day of DK and his game against New England, and he is becoming a elite wide receiver right before our eyes. And I think that this matchup only adds to that a little bit more to start the season. So as consistent as things can be with Lockett, I think that the consistency is starting to catch up for DK, and the big playability. It's like this perfect cash tournament blend now, where you're expecting at least one or two deep opportunities for DK. He's caught all of those this season, whether it be fourth down against Atlanta or the big one on first down, I think it was, against New England. Lockett has just been this underneath guy. We've only seen a couple deep shots to him this season and one was incomplete, you know, on third and one at the end of the game when they were trying to put it on ice. So I think DK is becoming a safer play than Tyler Lockett, which I was not ready to say at the beginning of the season, and I was expecting to maybe by the end of the year. We're week three. We're already saying that about DK. So I think the improvement has been, you know, pretty phenomenal right before our eyes to start the season, which as a Seahawks fan, I'm pumped about. But quick prop bet here, Kyler Murray, 39.5 rush yards, over or under. He's smashed that through the first 2 weeks.
It's an easy over.
Yeah. This is personally, I threw $50 on this about 10 minutes before the show started. He's averaging 10.5 carries per, 79 yards per. Matchup has the highest week one D score, second fastest projected pace, most favorable opposing defensive DVOA. Mm. He's going to be running wild.
DeAndre Hopkins, 6.5 receptions, and Christian Kirk is out. You see this one popping off as well.
Yeah, 6.5. I like that over. I don't think that's the best over. You know, I think 7 receptions, no matter who it is a lot. You know, I think that, you know, Hopkins is the wide receiver one. Kirk is out. It opens up more targets. He's probably going to hit the over, but I wouldn't bet on this kind of prop.
So really quick, I wanted to go back to, we had the burning question with DK and Lockett for FanDuel. In that same game, Michael Gallup at 5,700 or CeeDee Lamb at $100 cheaper at 56?
I was saying, I'm both. I think that, you know, they're so close in value that you do have differentiate your lineups a little bit with two of those guys if you can
If you could throw another $5 lineup in or whatever, I'm playing both of them. I like Gallup in a weird way. I know he's been the deep guy. I know he's been more deep routes and stuff. Seattle hasn't covered the deep ball well at all. And I think that a little bit better linebacker coverage in that defense with KJ and Bobby, they've been really good this season despite how bad the secondary's been. I think that Dak hits a couple deep plays to Michael Gallup in this game, and they get him more involved because this is a secondary to do it against. He hasn't done it through the first two games. He's been a dud. People have been disappointed. CD is ascending quicker than any receiver we could ever imagine. And of course he is because it's CD Lamb. But I see a world where Michael Gallup, finally, it's like, okay, there he is. That's the Michael Gallup we know.
The thing I see is I see CD Lamb continuing to out-target him.
Yes.
It's just a matter of when Michael Gallup catches that big pass
right. That
takes him over the top of everybody else. And I think that you're going to see more variance in Michael Gallup this year because CD is probably going to out-target him more than he isn't.
When looking at those two, I look at targets. CD Lamb has 15 through 2 weeks. Michael Gallup has 10. And I really like the slot guy in these high-scoring matchups that's getting those easy looks when the defense is essentially playing, we're not going to let anything behind us, especially, say, come fourth quarter when it's Seattle's up. Yeah, Seattle's up 35 to 24, and there's the fourth quarter just started, and Dak Prescott is just peppering CeeDee Lamb on underneath routes just to kind of play catch-up, and that's what Seattle's giving them. So especially even at $100 cheaper, I go CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah. I mean, that's the easier, I think, safer play for cash. I think for tournament, why not throw Michael Gallup in there?
Yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen. As everybody's going to get a target. It's really what it comes down to is touchdowns. And I think that Gallup is gonna finally get back on track with that. At least I hope for him. Jeez, he's just starting to kind of
fall off. CeeDee Lamb has a touchdown this year, does he?
He doesn't. Mm-mm. It's been weird.
Same with Gallup?
He had the pass interference against the Rams that would have been. So.
Yeah. Been a weird year for red zone receptions for that
super
crew.
Super.
No, none of them have a touchdown. I remember that stat. Neither Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, or CeeDee Lamb do not have a receiving touchdown.
Dak keeps falling.
Dak has three rushing touchdowns. Dalton Schultz caught one.
Oh God, yeah.
And Zeke had that one against the Rams where he made six guys miss within the 10-yard line. So yeah, not a single Dallas receiver has a touchdown.
Pour one out for Blake Jerwin.
It'd have been so goddamn good.
It would have really popped. Okay, running backs. Derrick Henry's at 8,200. We got Chris Carson at 77. Eckler's in there at 75. Miles Sanders feels like the play of the week at 74 against Cincinnati. We've been smashing that, especially in that game. He feels like the flex. He feels like the guy. You get Jonathan Taylor in there, or you get, you know, Ezekiel Elliott with those two, and then you throw in Miles Sanders for that cheap in comparison. Miles Sanders is cheaper than Austin Eckler this week. And I get the Carolina, you know, defense is not good. We expect the Chargers to win this game. Justin Herbert's making his second career start and looked great in his first game. But this is a team now, Carolina, as shitty as they are defensively, that is actually preparing for Justin Herbert this week. So do we see a little bit of more ground and pound? And for that, I go Joshua Kelly's probably the guy and not Austin Eckler.
What benefits Austin Eckler is that in week one, Tyrod Taylor targeted running backs through the passing game once. And then in his first start, Justin Herbert threw to the running back seven times. That's the benefit for Austin Eckler. The guy that I'm planting my flag on for this week is Miles Sanders at 74, cheaper than Austin Eckler. Play him in cash, play him in tourney. I don't care. He made it into one of my top five favorite plays for the week at 109.5 total yards. I took the over. He put up 131 last week on 20 carries, 7 targets, and 28 routes run in 1 week, which total is number 3 in the NFL for running backs. He did it in 1 week. Geno Atkins is out, defensive tackle for Cincinnati. Their other defensive tackle, Mike Daniels, did not practice all week. And Cincinnati's 25th in run defense DVOA. And last week on Thursday night, they gave up 32 carries, 210 yards, 3 touchdowns on the ground, good for 6.6 yards per carry to Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and then 3 for 24 and a touchdown through the air. Miles Sanders is my lineup lock.
Yeah, yeah, it's got to be Miles Sanders, and you've got to have a lot of JT this week. Those are the two cheap bell cow running backs that are going to have guaranteed volume. They're the safest plays. They both have decent matchups. with Miles Sanders having one of the best matchups. And then your third running back, you can be any combination of Zeke, Derrick Henry, but I think it's honestly just between those two, and I think you might as well go Zeke, and we'll go through some of our lineups that we have that we're playing this week that involve all these guys that we just talked about.
Some of the cheaper options that we talk about, sort of free squares here that are can be lineup makers for your cash lineup. We've got four. One is really more of a tournament play, but Devin Singletary, Daryl Henderson, and Jerick McKinnon. Starting with Singletary, Zach Moss is out. Devin Singletary is 5,900 versus the Rams. Is he a guy that you squeeze into any of your lineups?
Absolutely not.
If I'm playing Josh Allen, yeah. If I like the dump off ability, and I mean, somebody's got to score touchdowns in that game, and I don't think it's Stephon Diggs every time. John Brown might help. Josh Allen might run it in, but the running back, yeah. I'm if I'm playing Josh Allen, which I think I have one of my 30 something lineups this week, I'm throwing in Singletary.
Betting opportunity here on Singletary as well. I just threw $10 on it. Devin Singletary over 19.5 receiving yards. I like it because he's a receiving back. I'm a little worried because Josh Allen doesn't necessarily dump it to running backs. So those that 19.5 yards really has to come from game plan and not from improvising where Josh Allen just scrambles.
Rams defense a little clampier though.
Yeah.
That could be Josh Allen immediately looks for the deep ball and then dumps it off.
Right. So on, then on the flip side of that, in that matchup, Daryl Henderson, 5,800. Any interest there?
I like it, but Buffalo scares me. You never know. I almost need to see one more week from Henderson before I'm completely bought into his workload.
Shredded Philly, but
so is everybody. You know, that's kind of going to be the story for them this year, which is surprising because they have a fairly decent run defense.
Exactly. I think they're like second in the league right now, or something wild. So, and Malcolm Brown's there too. We don't know what this Rams backfield is.
But the thing is, they talked about going with the hot hand, and he was hot last week. Like, he played really well, so they may give him more touches this week.
Agreed, but what if he's not hot this week? That's what I'm worried about. There's no bell cow
upside.
Which is
why you go with Jet. You go with Jet against the Giants if you're going to play one of these cheap backs, because the Giants have just been allowing so many yards on the ground, and there's no one else in this backfield besides Jerick McKinnon who's given some decent production every week that he's played. So they've talked about giving him more opportunity. Now he's competing with Jeff Wilson and Jamichael Hasty. Come on. This guy is the best athlete on the field for them right now on offense. And I'm just going to go ahead and assume that they're going to hand the ball off to this guy quite a bit on Sunday.
Last guy that I like, kind of a cheaper option, really just a tournament play because he has no floor, is DeAndre Swift. I mentioned him earlier, 5,300 in that matchup against Arizona. That is going to be a shootout in the desert. Yeah, he presents upside receiving, and he's got a rushing touchdown so far this year. Betting opportunity here, over under 2.5 receptions. I smash the over. Game script, shootout.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Looks really good through the air. And then we answer the question between Devin Singletary, Daryl Henderson, and McKinnon. Bryce, for you, it's McKinnon.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm going to say it. I think it's Singletary. He's the only guy. After the other guys have.
What Miles Sanders did to the Rams last week, and just at 5,900, I can't believe I'm saying it.
He's my least favorite of the three.
Really?
Yeah.
And I respect that. Yeah, but I just, I don't know. There's something about being the only running back.
Yeah.
You know, and the other guys have somebody that they're competing with, whether Malcolm Brown or Jeff Wilson.
I don't think McKinnon's competing with anybody. Like,
he's competing with the turf in New York. That's what it is. Watch out. The most injury-prone player in the NFL, other than their starting tight end, Jordan Reed, is going to play on that turf for the second time.
That's fair.
In 2 weeks. They stayed in West Virginia at some massive ranch. I don't know. He didn't get to sleep in his own bed. I'm just worried about the injuries, man. Poor Jet.
We're going to wide receivers.
Okay, let's do it.
And I'm throwing this right to you, Kevin.
Hey, because
we talked about this about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Is Larry Fitzgerald an option at 5,400 with Christian Kirk now out?
If we're hyping up this game, he has to be. Oh, the Ruggs is out. He's the same price as Larry at 5,400. He's the same price.
What kind of upside is that, though?
Touchdown upside.
I just don't want to, if I'm playing cash, I don't want to gamble on Larry Fitzgerald scoring a touchdown when I think the more realistic outcome is Kenyon Drake, even though I bashed on him earlier, performing
more in this offense. I'm talking strictly price. I'm talking about the price in this. $5,400. You just lost Henry Ruggs. You have to replace him. Go look at the players that are worth $5,400 and tell me why Larry Fitzgerald as wide receiver two this week in that offense against Detroit isn't a smash.
I would rather pay $300 more for Michael Gallup.
But then what else are you losing? Let me go look at that lineup that I just put Larry in. Let me go look at it.
I'm just not going to be on board with Fitz anymore. I love Larry Fitzgerald. I really do. I just
seven targets. He's scoring a touchdown in this game. Anytime touchdown. What's the line on that? Can you look that up for me?
I will. It's got to be plus money.
Yeah, well, got to be. Here's my lineup with Larry Fitzgerald. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Cam Newton, Jonathan Taylor, Ezekiel Elliott, Julian Edelman, Larry Fitzgerald, Amari Cooper, Darren Waller, Tyler Lockett. Titans defense is the one that I flex against Minnesota
so
at 43. There's that Cam Edelman thing that we talked about.
Maybe in tourneys. I don't think
all minor tournaments.
I don't think so in cash.
That's as tournament as it gets, I think, with Larry Fitzgerald. But the cash thing, no. I'm finding some other option. I'm making my roster differently, so I'm not playing a $5,400 receiver at the bottom of my lineup.
A guy we're worried about but has a juicy price and is in a juicy matchup is Allen Robinson, $6,900. How are we feeling about A-Rob this week against the Falcons?
Yeah, baby! Give me all the A-Rob. I love it.
And he's great in cash, right? He's guaranteed targets every week, and he's obviously the number one there. I just don't have any lineups with him in it at the moment. I would rather play Terry McLaurin at $200 cheaper.
So I flip A-Rob to a tournament play because of that. I'm not too sure he has the floor. From what we've seen, last week he had 3 receptions on 9 targets to Mitch Trubisky. It's Trubisky's fault. I feel like he's too risky for me to put in my cash lineup, and a guy that I would stack with Mitch Trubisky, run it back with Calvin Ridley and Hayden Hurst in a little bit of a contrarian tournament lineup.
I think that makes a lot more sense.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
where I think I would go on board with Allen Robinson.
I just had to take Benny Snell out of a lineup. I couldn't believe that I had him in there.
I can't believe they're still playing James Conner. I guess they're going to get every yard out of him they possibly can. Because Benny Snell is the better running back in Pittsburgh right now.
Is he?
I think so, yeah.
Or is it just because James Conner's always hurt? Anyway, we'll talk about that in the show next week. Rolling through here, Bryce, you just mentioned him, Terry McLaurin at $6,700. Cleveland secondary looks like shit. Over under 4.5 receptions. That feels like a smash.
Yeah, it does, especially with Denzel Ward out.
Yeah.
Terry McLaurin is, it's pretty easy, I think.
Kevin, Larry Fitzgerald, plus 180.
Oh!
Anytime touchdown score. Do you want me to place it for you right now?
Oh, my God. I kind of like it. Ooh.
That's a good parlay bet to throw on top.
Sprinkle in with some locks with the Kyler rushing yards. And
the Terry McLaurin over 4.5 receptions.
I got to call my bookie after the show and dial that one in. More receivers. So Terry McLaurin, we talked about that. That feels like a smash at $6,700 to be in your lineup. Julian Edelman, we talked about him. Deontay Johnson, I think, is still going under the radar. They got with the most targets in the Pittsburgh offense. Bryce, you talked about the Houston game and how that defense has looked really, really bad. You like that as a high-scoring game, despite Pittsburgh's defense being really good and a lot of opportunity for Deontay Johnson. T.Y. Hilton, with now Paris Campbell out, the rumor is that they're going to now move him all over the field to kind of play into this slot role with a bunch of different guys. And we saw Mo Alie-Cox emerge, and he kind of played big slot and tight end in that game as well. Talk about big slot. Jesus Christ. He's, what, 6'8"?
6'8".
Jesus, fuck.
He's massive.
So he's a massive human being. But T.Y. Hilton with Paris Campbell out, I know he's had a bad start to the year. And I know it's super questionable for DFS. But as a fantasy perspective, he's kind of the ultimate buy low along with Allen Robinson right now, I would say, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to die on the T.Y. Hill in DFS. But Deontay Johnson's playable in cash, playable in tourney. Play him everywhere. I have him in a few of my lineups for this week.
You're not going to die on the T.Y. Hill,
Oh, my God. The thing is, he's playing the Jets.
Which is good and bad, right, in my opinion, because that game could get out of hand quickly and it turns into the Jonathan Taylor show.
Easy play.
You know who keeps them in the game, though? Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers is going to keep the Jets in the game. I think turnovers and weird shit. It's a game the Colts should smash, right? And they should be running the ball all over them. Phillip likes to turn it over in these games, and you know he's going to have the ball at the end of the game down by four or something like that, needing a touchdown.
JT's going to have like a 60-yard just bomb of a run, and then it's just going to be all him after
that. Stop talking to me like that. Oh. Okay, A.J. Green, 5,900 versus Philadelphia.
I'm never playing A.J. Green in cash or tourney. I know he's a big tourney play, sure. I'm, once again... These guys are. I'm not dying on the hill of T.Y. Hilton and A.J. Green and Larry Fitzgerald, and I'm not doing it. I'm sorry.
What I see is a guy in A.J. Green at $5,900 who has 22 targets in two games, number four in the league, seven deep targets, number one in the league, number one in air yards in this juicy matchup. Am I playing A.J. Green in cash? No, I'm not. Again, it just doesn't really fit. But I have a tournament lineup built that has Joe Burrow, Miles Sanders on the other side of that, who's going to be running crazy. So Joe Burrow, Miles Sanders, A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, Dallas Goedert in my tight end.
Oof.
How many points you project in that
one
game?
One of my favorite.
92.
35-31. So,
whoa. 66 points? Holy
I already
hell.
Bet the over. I bet Miles Sanders over 109.5 total yards.
Those two teams have looked so bad they're going to combine for 20.
Beautiful shit show is.
We hope so.
That's the ultimate contrarian tournament lineup, because I think people expect a low score, huh?
Yeah, I think so too. You see Carson Wentz looking like shit. Cincinnati. Like, Joe Burrow is another good, like, buy low opportunity there. Hasn't scored a touchdown, I don't think, but like. He's going to be low-owned. I really like targeting that game in tournament.
Are we good on wide receiver?
Yes.
Let's move to tight end. This is, I mean, there's no Travis Kelce. There's no George Kittle. The premier tight ends are not playing in this slate. And Zach Ertz has looked bad. Dallas Goedert is kind of the guy there to you're saving a grand, $6,200 to $5,200. Goedert, more upside, probably equal opportunity, I would say, at this point, it feels like. So it feels like Goddard's the guy there. What do you guys think? If you're to play one of them in that game that Jay's talking about, you just mentioned it, Jay. You just said you're playing Goddard.
Yeah, it's Goddard. And a grand cheaper, there's no question. Every week, there's only going to be a couple tight ends I'm really going to play, and I'm not mixing it up whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to look to TJ Hockenson every week. I'm going to look to Dallas Goedert pretty often. I think Jonnu Smith is a great option. I mean, he looks to be one of the best pass-catching options in that offense.
And with A.J. Brown out, even more so.
Yeah, exactly. I don't hate the Dalton Schultz pick at all, especially if you're trying to squeeze some better wide receivers in the lineup. I just don't think it's necessary to play Dalton Schultz once we go through our lineups of the week.
Here's what I'll say about Dalton Schultz in this game. They're not going to go to tight end. The play at linebacker is too good in coverage, and we saw that against Hayden Hurst, and we saw that against who was the tight end for New England. They weren't even mentioned in the game. Seattle covers tight ends well now, and it's weird to see because in years past that wasn't necessarily the case. But Bobby Wagner is having his best coverage season of his career, shockingly, and Dalton Schultz is a bum. I think that there's too many options in Dallas's offense this week against corners in Seattle's secondary that's banged up already that are easily going to be more open than Dalton Schultz. Could he catch a red zone touchdown? Sure. But I'm looking at Logan Thomas at the same price or spending a little bit more for Jonnu and Hurst just for the security of knowing that they're going to be involved more than Dalton Schultz's option, what, 5 in the passing game? I put Zeke ahead of him even.
Oh, yeah.
I like Jonnu at number one. I'm playing more Goddard than in most of my lineups than with Jonnu, but I like Jonnu in my lineups, and then I like Hockenson at 3. So those three are the three I'm targeting.
Yeah.
Goddard is my lock. Same with Miles Sanders. So I feel like, shit, I might be too in on the Eagles after what we've seen. But for what I project for this game to pop off, Goddard at 5,200 with Jalen Reagor's now out. There goes another passing option. Alshon Jeffrey's not back yet. DeSean Jackson, we know what type of receiver he is. Dallas Goedert have a top five week this week, locked and loaded to be Philadelphia's number one wide receiver.
Right. What we saw with Ertz in years past, with the same injuries, the same guys. It was the Ertz show, and feels already like the changing of the guard there in Philly. Let's go to defense. The Colts defense in every which way, in fantasy, in DFS, in tournament, in cash, is the play.
Who do they play?
The New York Gaces. They play the New York Gaces in Indy. Like I said, I think that the havoc plays in this game are going to be aplenty. I think Rivers is going to be a little erratic. We know what the Jets do. And when we saw last week what the Colts did to Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, they got safety, they got three picks, they forced fumbles, they were all over the place. Defense is really good. They're the smash. You got to pay extra for that, though. $4,800 on FanDuel right now. The Titans at $4,300 is exactly why, you know, they're a little bit cheaper. Could have the same result as the Colts had last week. They play Minnesota, so that feels like a smash, and you save a bit of cash there. But the defenses that we like to target are under that $4,000 mark, right? You're trying to get it cheap. You're trying to look a little bit, I don't know, they could pop off. The Washington football team against Cleveland is one of those defenses that we look at as pretty solid at $3,900.
I'm playing a lot of Washington, yeah. But Chase had shown me a lineup where he had Tampa in there. Yeah. And, of course, I don't want to play, you know, any defense against my Broncos, but I think this is the week to do that.
Well, they're cheaper.
Yeah.
They're cheaper than Washington.
Yeah. And without, you know, Judy's questionable, Handler's playing, but they're just banged up everywhere. They have Jeff Driscoll probably starting at quarterback. Blake Bortles isn't ready yet. And, you know, it's going to be pretty easy for Tampa Bay to play defense this week. I can tell you that right now. And Melvin Gordon seems to be a lot of people's pick to have a lot of touches in this game and to be a good DFS play. And I don't get that at all. Like, I am not on board with that. If anything, you know, maybe Leonard Fournette, but even then, you know, you can chase points elsewhere. There are other games that you can go after. But for defense, I think Tampa is a great pick for week three.
You know, and you mentioning that Judy's, what is he? Is he playing?
He's questionable.
He's right questionable. Now. Tight end that we didn't talk about.
No fan.
Yeah.
I squeezed him into one lineup because I like it right now.
$5,800. The other defense play that I like is just simply based on really matchup. The New York Giants do not have a good defense. However, they draw not Jimmy Garoppolo, but Nick Mullins. I just like the chaos plays potential there with a backup quarterback. They're $3,600. That's as far as I'll go down for defense. There's nothing else underneath that I'm like, I like that.
You mentioned backup quarterback, backup running back, backup tight end, backup wide receiver. Everything's a backup in this game. Mm-hmm. And they play on the field from hell. Somebody's getting hurt in this fucking game. I'm calling it. I hate predicting that, but that field isn't ready or suit for playing an NFL game. It's fucked up. Something's wrong. Something's going to happen. And
too many players have gotten hurt on that field this year through 2 weeks.
So bad. So bad. That's defense. Let's get into a little bit of tourney stuff. We kind of talked about this a little bit, but like, what's kind of your most contrarian out there? What could happen? I guess for me, it's Larry Fitzgerald with Christian Kirk out. If I'm playing a lineup with Kyler and Hopkins, just because we think that the total is going to be really, really nice in that game for Atlanta, I think that squeezing him into for $5,400 is—it looks like an anytime touchdown is gonna pop for Larry in his first of the year.
Contrarian lineup, I think the stack that I would go with or start with would be one of Cam Newton and Julian Edelman.
Yep, I like that.
Or Big Ben and Deontay Johnson.
Oof.
I'm really bought into that matchup. I think the Steelers are gonna absolutely destroy Houston in that game.
The game that I'm targeting that I've been talking about the whole time is Cincinnati at Philly. I have two tournament lineups that I like. I would consider them contrarian, but one with Carson Wentz at the helm, the other one with Joe Burrow. Both are playing Miles Sanders, but for the Carson Wentz one, it's Carson Wentz, Miles Sanders, the run back with Joe Mixon, hoping that he's running wild and essentially that the Eagles are the ones playing catch up. So I also have, I'm playing four Eagles, Wentz, Miles Sanders, DeSean Jackson, and Dallas Goedert in my tight end spot. And then the other game that I'm stacking within that lineup is Detroit, Arizona, with Kenyon Drake, DeAndre Hopkins, and probably low-owned contrarian play Kenny Galladay, mm-hmm. who, again, like I said, he said he's not 100%. That's going to keep his ownership down. Does he have the ability to pop off? Absolutely.
Of course.
Now, my defense is Pittsburgh. They just kind of fit into there. But the one with Joe Burrow is Joe Burrow stacked with A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd, run it back with Miles Sanders and DeSean Jackson, and then really filled in my other spots with studs, Ezekiel Elliott, at running back, Dalvin Cook in my flex, and Darren Waller in my tight end. Dalvin Cook and Darren Waller are two guys that are high priced that I think are actually going to be low owned.
Yeah.
Darren Waller because of what we've seen with Belichick trying to scheme for Darren Waller, but it's Jacobs and Waller, and mm-hmm. that's it. And the Raiders are going to have to eventually try to throw the ball to catch up. So I see a big week for Darren Waller, and hopefully Dalvin Cook in Minnesota kind of gets it figured out. He has 26 carries through 2 weeks.
What the fuck?
That's it.
That's wild.
That's something that we've saw him do through one game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Minnesota said, Mike Zimmer said, that they want to get back to who they are as a football team, and that's pounding the rock.
You know, Stone Age offense in Minnesota.
What's kind of weird, we haven't mentioned this guy once being a contrarian or felt to be a pretty safe cash play last year. It's DJ Moore. Mm. And I know he draws the Chargers secondary that's looked really good this season, but he's now contrarian. He is now like, I'm going to put DJ Moore in and hope that he pops off, which is shocking to say. And he's in one of my wild lineups. Justin Herbert is my starting quarterback. I go with Derrick Henry and Ezekiel Elliott for the stability of scoring some sort of touchdowns and major upside at running back. But then Keenan Allen, of course, with Herbert, DJ Moore in that same game against each other. The free square is James Washington for me in that game. I know Deontay Johnson and Juju are ahead of him, but you're just hoping for the big touchdowns, similar to like a DeSean Jackson. Hunter Henry, we saw all the targets that he had last week from Herbert. I know they didn't game plan for that, but Hunter Henry was much more involved than with Tyrod Taylor. And Jonathan Taylor's my running back with that Tampa D you mentioned, Bryce. Okay, all this talk about cash, a little bit of tournament at the end here. Your favorite lineup of the week in cash. Lock it in. Bryce, this is the this is your lineup that's going to win you double your money, win it right back. You're safe. You know it. You're going to finish third like Chase did last week in a cash lineup. What do you got?
Okay, so the wide receivers are going to sound a little janky, but it makes sense. Okay, so I'm going with Dak, all right, then Zeke, then Miles Sanders, CeeDee Lamb, DK Metcalf. I am playing Terry McLaurin. Noah Fant, Jonathan Taylor, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. I think, Fant proved last week that he's going to be one of the top targets for Jeff Driscoll, and he is emerging as a top five tight end in Dynasty. So everybody just be aware, he's popping off. This guy's really good. Denver likes to use their tight ends. But I think Terry McLaurin's really safe. DK's going to pop off with Russ. And CeeDee Lamb is going to continue to out-target Michael Gallup, so it makes it another safe play. And I did swap in Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense instead of Washington footballs. So I think that's a much safer play in week three. So that's my favorite lineup.
I've got all of my chips pushed in on Seattle-Dallas for cash. And the Philadelphia Eagles and Jonathan Taylor. So starting quarterback, I go Russell Wilson over Dak. Ezekiel Elliott, Miles Sanders are my two running backs. I go DK Metcalf, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper. So far I'm literally all Seattle, Dallas other than Miles Sanders. Dallas Goedert is my tight end to play. And then in my flex, I have Jonathan Taylor, and I'm playing Tampa's defense.
I'm also in on the Seattle-Dallas game, and my lineup looks very similar to you. It's Russell Wilson, Ezekiel Elliott. Wait, did you just read this? I think you did, actually. It's the same fucking thing.
Is it the exact same?
I think it is. Okay, so I literally have the same exact lineup as Chase, but for the show, kind of similar, a little bit different. Same game, different guys. I go Dak with Chris Carson, Miles Sanders, Amari Cooper. Tyler Lockett instead of DK, CeeDee Lamb. It feels like Amari and CeeDee are just tied at the hip right now. And this is at the expense of not having Ezekiel Elliott. Hayden Hurst is my tight end against Chicago. And then in that same game, if it's high scoring, like I hope it will be, with the Atlanta offense kind of taking off, Allen Robinson, I think this is the week. We hammered home on it. I traded for him in a seasonal league, and then finish it off with the Tampa defense, which I think we all agree on is the play this week at the price. The huge discrepancy from DraftKings to FanDuel. I think on DraftKings, that defense is worth far more in comparison to the other defenses in that target range where we're looking for under 4,000, but not under that 35 mark too. So Tampa, for whatever reason, is the must-play defense, I think, this week that we're all in agreement on.
Yep.
Sorry, Bryce, and your Broncos. And
injuries happen.
Jeff Driscoll and whoever else they're going to play at quarterback.
Or Driscoll.
Driscoll. Anything else you guys want to sprinkle in here at the end? I got something. Chase got retweeted by Evan Silva, and that was awesome because of his new metric that he's kind of developed through the help of what Evan Silva and his team kind of created, established the run, but it's called D-Score. Check it out on his Twitter, at CDask. That looks dope. We're hoping that it pops this week because that would be sweet and really boost that up a little bit. But it got some love. Chase's followers shot up like a fucking rocket ship yesterday, which was sick and good for the pod and good for everybody. So
I'm trusting the D-Score. I've put a lot of money on riding on the old D-Score.
Bryce, anything?
I'm all good.
All good.
Ready to win some money.
Let's win some money. All right, that's the show. Good luck, everybody. And we'll talk Tutties on the next show. Back to Tutty Talk next week. Week 3. Let's fucking go.